All right, you're listening to Grown Up and Blown Up. It is I, Nina, and Sheena. And this podcast, we talk about everything from rock bottom, transformation stories, self-development, and more. And we have a very special guest today, whom I just met today through Sheena. And we are going to explore her story, her own transformation story. And Sheena, take it away.
Absolutely. So we have today Liana with us. And I've been wanting to introduce her to Nina, and I was just like, hey girl, like I've met this girl like a long time ago, and I feel like I've known her already, and but we just never met personally. No, we've only met each other like online or through a coaching session. And the first time I met Liana, she was actually, we met through a common friend, my friend Neil. And that was like about 3 years ago, I think 3 or 4 years ago. And that was also my transition from my career from being a manager in a fitness company. Mm-hmm. And I was like, I want to really start pursuing my personal development career, or my coaching career. So I was asking a lot of questions, and I couldn't find anyone here in the Philippines that I felt like I could connect with or ask those kind of questions, you know?
Right.
So he told me, he's like, yeah, you know, I have this friend, she's here in the States, but she's based now in Bali. And he told me about her story, how she like left her six-figure business and everything. She was just like successful, and then she goes to Bali and then like had this full transformation, which she will tell, because I was just like, no way, that's so amazing. So you gotta talk to her. Mm-hmm. So I got into one session. I called her, and
was it like a website reach out or a social media reach out?
It was actually like kind of like a discovery call. So it's just a coaching a session. It was a consultation. So I didn't know her at that time, and I was asking her questions about how to go about my career, because those were what I needed at that time. I didn't know how I can transition.
Right.
So, but she asked me, like, it was a few questions, but those few questions was just so impactful. And I was just like, oh my God, why didn't I think about that?
Let's hear it.
So now I was just like, Nina, we got to bring this girl in. And so I just been following her, on her Instagram, and then just learning a lot. Like I was getting inspiration from, and she's also a Filipina. She's an entrepreneur. She's a life coach. She's just amazing. So we're going to go bring her up. So Liana, all the way from Bali.
Hello. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Thank you guys so much for having me.
Absolutely.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
It's very nice to meet you.
So yes, likewise.
We would love for you to share your story. Like, what was the moment that you actually felt like what was your fuck it button?
So, yes, you're right. We share a similar story to a lot of other people who are working in corporate or in other positions that they're not happy with, that they're not satisfied with. So for me, I grew up with the dream of being a businesswoman, wearing the heels, wearing the nice outfit with the walking down the street, looking like a big deal, and having the good corporate job with a nice view and everything. And I worked in tech for over 10 years, and I realized, like the outside, right? Like you have all of the things, you have the salary, you have like the external, all of those goals checked off. But inside, I didn't feel successful. Inside, it went from, something doesn't feel right, to, okay, something is way off, where I started getting panic attacks because I was burnt out. I was burning the candle at both ends. I was also overachieving and working in corporate even when I was in college. So before I even graduated college, I was just going for it because I grew up thinking, you've got to make it. Your parents immigrated from the Philippines, and they taught you work hard, right? So after 10 years in tech, I realized that this was not the path for me. Not only was my health, like my physical health, getting panic attacks, but also I had a lot of anxiety. I also like done my digestion, like all of these signs were pointing to, girl, you got to do something else. You at least got to explore what else is out there. And I was noticing that I was changing jobs internally at a company, and then also changing companies and realizing, hey, that's not it. Moving to another company, and it just, you know, a year or two later, feeling the same exact way again, feeling unhappy, unfulfilled. So I hired a coach to help me move and transition into something else. But for me, it's like, well, I have a business degree and I'm working in corporate. I don't know what else I'm supposed to do here because I've already invested so much of my time, energy, and money into this path. What else is there? My world was just like this world of corporate and working in the 9-to-5. So when I hired a coach, I was really hoping that they would help me explore other avenues and things that I can do, and also what my strengths were that could transition into something different. But it was really scary because, you know, when you're in that space, when you're making six figures, you're I was living in San Francisco at the time. I couldn't imagine starting over and having a life that could, or having a salary with a start over, like starting over in a new career, having a salary that could support a lifestyle that I was accustomed to.
Yeah.
So that was really scary. It was really risky. I had heard about life coaching and it seemed like a dream to me. And so, but I kind of knew that there was a part of the career that seemed really, really, really interesting. So part of the reason why I hired a coach was to help me explore what possibilities were, but also maybe I could become a coach. Like maybe this is for me. So it was also part research. And we tried on different, we went down different paths. I became more self-aware and I grew in my personal growth area in my life a lot, and explored coaching. So when I went to coaching school, it was kind of an idea. It was like, you know what? If I don't like it, I can just take the first class and, you know, do something else if this doesn't work. So right after the first class I took, it was a weekend course. And after the first day, I was like, I'm all in. I'm taking all of the rest of the whatever modules. I don't care how many modules you have, I'm in. So I felt like I was home. And after trying on different types of career ideas with my coach, and even prior to that, nothing felt as on point as coaching did after I went on the first day.
Wow.
So yeah, I got certified, and I was still working in corporate through the certification, through completing all of the different courses. And even as I was coaching people part-time on the evenings, the weekends, and I was still kind of like one foot in corporate and one foot in coaching. And I was like, how do I, like, I'm only charging people not that much money because I'm new. How do I make this leap? How do I just quit my job? Which is something that was really risky for me to do. This was in April of 2015, and I had already been certified. I'd already been working part-time with clients, and I was ready to make a huge leap. So in April of 2015, I was working with another coach, and she helped me create a vision, kind of like a vision statement, like a written version of a vision board. What would my life look like, ideally, 6 months or a year from now? So I wrote down and I held myself accountable. And I said, you know what? By September of 2015, I don't want to be working in corporate anymore. I just want to be a coach and help people create more fulfillment in their lives. I was also getting really into surfing. So I was like, you know, I want to be in a tropical place where I can surf every day. And I want to be an awesome surfer. At the time, I was longboarding at the time, and I didn't really know as much as I know now, but I didn't know how to surf. So super well. I didn't graduate to short boards yet. And I just remember just dreaming up this whole vision for myself, where all I did was coach people from all around the world, did retreats and workshops and all of that. And here I am sitting in my cube thinking, girl, you're tripping. Like, this is a fantasy. What are you doing? You know, who do you think you are? You know, all of this imposter syndrome and kind of doubting myself that I can do that. But I wrote it down anyway, and I read it every single day. And, you know, after a couple of months, so May, June, July, like nothing happened. And then I ended up getting laid off from my job.
Yeah.
So my team was laid off, and I was like, wow, okay, I don't know what else to do. This now I feel extra lost. I started panicking and started interviewing for other jobs in corporate because I didn't know what to do. And that's what you do when you don't have a job, right? You're like you're floating because if you don't have a job, then who are you, right? Is kind of what we're conditioned to think about. We're not, well, for me personally, I can only speak for myself, but you know, in talking with other people, when you are in between stages, it's really uncomfortable. Yeah. When you're in an area of uncertainty, like take COVID for instance, when we don't know what's happening, it makes us feel anxious. So I did that for a while, and then I said, you know what, I think I need to take a solid break. I had worked my butt off in college in my 20s, and I had never taken more than 2 weeks off. So I decided I'm gonna take a solid break and regroup and figure life out. So I took a trip to Southeast Asia, and Bali was one of my first stops. And I ended up in Bali, and I was just floored by just this whole vibe here. I fell in love with every aspect of being on this island, and it just felt very nourishing for me to be here. And I just kept extending and extending because I was planning on traveling throughout Southeast Asia. And at the time I was working with clients part-time.
Right.
And they were okay with me working with them remotely. But back in 2015, this wasn't normal mm-hmm. To be a digital nomad. And so I was doing it. And on my last day of Bali, I was packing up my bags. I was supposed to go meet a friend in Vietnam. And the taxi was on its way to pick me up. And I was checking my email one last time. And I got an email that said, your flight's been canceled.
Wow.
And I thought, wow, okay, what do I do now? I had already been in Bali for a couple of months. And my initial response wasn't panic. It wasn't stress. It wasn't like, you know, when your flight gets canceled, your normal response is to be bummed out.
Right.
But I was excited. I was stoked that I got to spend more time on the island. Yeah. Right. So that was an indicator of like, okay, I'd much rather stay in a place that I've been at for over 2 months than see the world, which meant that this is something special for me. So I use that experience to, as evidence of like wanting to stay here. So I tried to figure it out, and I wrote down in my journal, okay, what's it gonna take? I did the numbers and realized that I only really needed one more client to sustain life here in a comfortable way. Mm-hmm. So I put my feelers out there. I like sent out emails, and I got an email from a Bay Area in San Francisco connection who was my writing teacher. She was here teaching a retreat, and she ended up introducing me to my future client that allowed me to stay in Bali comfortably back in 2015, and I was able to grow from there.
That's crazy. It's like the manifestation. You could see the power mm-hmm. in that, and the universe just kind of
communicating.
Yes, yeah. And then just made everything just fall yeah. in its place, right?
Mm-hmm.
And how long did that transition happen for you? So after that, speaking to your teacher, then what made you fully decide and say, okay, maybe this is my aha moment. Is this is what I'm going to do now? Like, what was like the real staple for you to say, like, I'm really moving my life here?
So, yeah. So the moment was after I got that client, because I built up this desire.
Right.
And I was pinned up against the whole, like, should I leave or should I stay? Mm-hmm. And once I got that emotional response of, you're stuck here, and it didn't feel stifling. It didn't feel like I needed to find another flight so I can make my flight and meet my friend. Mm-hmm. It was, that was the moment, really. Mm-hmm. So, which lit a fire under me to really get grounded and stay here. So as soon as I was able to manifest that client and start working with her, it was clear to me that I wanted to build a life here for as long as I could as possible.
Oh, wow.
I didn't realize it was going to be over 5 years, but hey.
That's amazing. You know? Yeah, you know what? Like, what you did too is courageous. And I mean, because as a Filipino woman growing up with a very strong Filipino values, that itself, just traveling on your own, moving to another country and leaving, how do you say, what the society says, okay, this is the kind of job that you should get, like this is a six-figure job, this is what success is. To leave that behind, that's for me. I mean, I'm just speaking for myself, and I don't know if you know you could relate that. That's something my mom would be like, are you crazy? You know, like, what is wrong with you? But it just felt so right. And like, how was that for you? Like, was that something difficult for you to communicate to your family? Or, I mean, just speaking as a fellow Filipina.
Yeah, absolutely. So I was working, like, you know, Filipinos like recognizable names and brands, like, mm-hmm. oh, you have a brand name purse, or like, oh, you have, they recognize it, so it must be good. So I was working for big recognizable tech companies. So to them, I had already made it. They don't have to worry about me. I'm fine. So as soon as I told my parents that I was leaving this career, after they thought I was already set and stable, they were concerned. I had moved back in with my dad before the trip because I didn't want to pay for an apartment as I was going. And I remember being at his house and him telling people that, oh, I have a hobby, it's coaching. And I'm like, That's not a hobby. It's actually my new thing now. That's what I'm doing. But I could imagine for him, it's like, it's just, it just doesn't register.
Right.
And so I had to sit him down and say, hey, Dad, you know, this is the hardest thing that I've had to do. I've thought so long and hard about this, and it's a huge risk. And I need you. I need your energy to go in the direction of like supporting me in any way that you can. And by you saying it's just a hobby tells me that you're not thinking about it in a way that I need you to. Mm-hmm. I need your support. I can't do this without you. Mm-hmm. And he, since that day, has been one of my biggest fans, mm-hmm. and was telling everybody about me, getting people's email addresses, getting them to sign up for my email list. And it was just, it was so sweet to be able to have this conversation with him because, you know, even as Filipinos, we don't have hard conversations very well.
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Yeah. I just got goosebumps with that because I do recognize this fact wherein, you know, hard Filipinos just get so intimidated by their parents to like come clean, come out of the closet, or just, you know, have these difficult conversations with. So, it's that communication is inspiring. That story of yours is going to inspire a lot of listeners, a lot of people who, you know, especially now are finding that they really want to pursue other things besides what they're currently doing. Right. It's that time. There's this energy.
I think especially now too, I mean, in this phase or in this chapter, you know, with the pandemic, you know, there's a lot of you know, people out there who's really going into career transitions.
Yeah.
And more so here in the Philippines. And I know I've been meeting a lot of women too, that's something that's on top of their head. That's like, it's something that's been causing them concern, you know, obviously, you know, with them having families that they have to think of, I have to think about. And that's a big issue. That's a big issue in a family or in a household. Right. And I don't know how that is, like, say, in the U.S., because I know the lifestyle there is different. But and how the Filipino household in the Philippines there. So I kind of also just want to, like, really delve into that, because, you know, there's a lot of things that I can relate to, like, say, Filipinos who were raised in other countries, and then the ones here, that thought of career transition is a very sensitive topic, or something that's difficult to communicate to your family, you know. But that's why I said it takes courage.
Yeah.
It takes a lot of courage. And that's definitely something that would inspire a lot of people out there, your story.
Yeah.
I think it's also a matter of knowing how to communicate. And I think that's what, you know, shedding light on that air, because that's something that's hard. That's not something that we are taught to do, to communicate in that way. Like how you spoke to your dad, that's... you know, okay, so if you were to talk to other women out there who are going through, whether it be a career transition or some life transition, what would you say, or how would you give them, or like what advice would you give them in communicating that to their family?
I would say start with yourself and being very self-aware around how you're feeling.
Right.
About your career transition, about how you feel when you do communicate with the people in your life that you want to communicate, how you expect them to respond, and being prepared emotionally and also verbally to respond back in a way that would be ideal for you. When you do it with and prepare with a calm mind, you set yourself up for when, if you are triggered, you'll know, you'll have a dialogue that you prepared, right? So when you know, let's just say that, like, you have a scenario A where they're extremely happy with extremely happy for you, and you're jumping up and down for joy. Great, you don't, like, that's the end of the conversation. But if there is a scenario where they are so disappointed or they're not really celebrating with you, you can figure out how you want to respond to that and what you want to get out. You also need to be okay with them not accepting. That doesn't mean that it needs to influence what you're doing if you don't want it to, right? Ultimately, it's your life, it's your decision, and what's going to make you happy comes from you. So if we get into this place of, like, people pleasing, I recently focused on that topic this week on my social media. Like, if we get into these patterns of wanting to please other people over ourselves for acceptance and approval, we won't be happy.
Yeah.
And that's very much in our culture, right? Because we want to respect our elders and their choices and what their decisions are. But, you know, it's now becoming apparent that that's not sustainable for us.
Yeah.
And we really need to heal through that.
Mm-hmm.
So really just being prepared for different responses and being okay with not being in agreement.
Right. Yeah. Right.
And I remember you telling me, like, your situation too with your family communicating that, like, with also your transition in some of your career, like, how was that like for you?
I went through a lot of transitions, right? I was learning myself, like, every 3 years. I was going through, like, okay, who are my friends? What do I really want to do? Until I hit my last rock bottom scenario, and I read my first Abraham Hicks book, and I discovered Dr. Joe Dispenza, and then I realized that I wanted to heal so bad so I could help other people.
Yes.
You know, so I think I had to go through all these other transitions that, you know, to my family was a form of rebellion. And I'm, you know, I'm a strong woman. I, as emotional as I am, I always was very independent. So I always put my big girl pants on. I was one of those people who went against what they were feeling and always followed my heart. I wear my heart on my sleeve, basically an open book. I also want to like inspire other people to, you know, not abuse naman, right? But to find the balance in listening to your intuition, following your heart. Like my brother told me the other day, listen, you have to do what's going to make you sane and what's going to make you happy and have peace in your heart. And that's when I was like, oh my God, yes. Thank you so much.
Yeah, it was always hard.
Yeah.
But I think that's what, I like what you said, Liana, earlier about the people pleasing, right? Like that's something that's actually really common. And I've also gone through that. And sometimes I have to catch myself because I'm so used to, you know, just thinking about other people other than myself. And this also not just goes with certain decisions I want to make in my life or, you know, I mean, just even say career transitions, I always have to think like, oh, who's going to be impacted in this situation? You know, things like that. But let's go back to your story from the time you finally lived in Bali. So how was your life like now or like, or when you decided to live in Bali, was it like, okay, everything's, you know, fine and dandy already, and I'm living my dream life and my dream career. I mean, was everything just went smooth and sailing for you from there?
Oh yeah, I'm kidding. we know. I mean, like Nidia said, there's multiple rock bottoms. There's life is never stagnant.
Right.
We never get to the top of the mountain and just chill. Right. Like that's not how life goes. Even though we reach the goals, like the big goals that we set for ourselves, there's always something either more that we want or we evolve as people. Right. So we never just stay the same for the rest of our lives. So for me, for a little while, it was beautiful. It was my dream life. It was my real life. That was even my password for my Wi-Fi or something. It was like dream life or something. It was just, I just could not believe my life. Right. I was looking around, I was waking up in the morning and everything about my life, the birds, like just everything that passed by. Yeah, everything. I was just like, oh, look at that motorbike over there. Like, cool. Like, just like even the most menial things were just, I was grateful for every single minor experience. And while I was here, you know, I started surfing all the time. I got more clients. I ended up with a partner and we ended up living together. And you know, I had a community of friends that were just amazing. Even my dad came by to visit me and he was like, wow, you like, nice, you know. You did. You're like, I, your friends, your, you know, everything in my environment was just it was so nourishing for me. And after a while I started feeling like some tension happening in my life, where I felt like it was maybe the universe tugging me, that was just like, you know, things don't always stay the same, right? You're not like, there's more for you, even though you are so attached to this version of yourself. I'm calling you up, girl. I'm calling you up to this next version of yourself. And so I started feeling like a bit stagnant. I was doing the one-on-one coaching thing and I was doing the same thing every day with my friends and my partner. But it started to lose its luster. And after some time of reflecting, I thought, you know, part of that vision I had for myself, I wanted to lead workshops and retreats and things. Mm. And I did my first one, I think in 2016, and I was so nervous. I couldn't even rehearse sitting down because I was so nervous. So I had to rehearse while walking, you know, and moving my body because it was just taking over. And I loved it. I loved being able to lead a one-to-many environment, like a workshop. And I wanted to do more of that. And also I started toying with the idea of being more comfortable doing video. At the time, you put a camera in front of my face, I would have just been so shy. I would have been so awkward. I wouldn't know what to do with my hands or my body. And like, I would talk all weird and awkward. So I knew that there was an opportunity for growth in my leading, in my presentation skills, in my facilitation, and being in front and delivering content and delivering workshops. So I had the idea of getting better at it. And there was the same coaching school that I had signed up for all of my coaching courses and certification, the Coaches Training Institute. They had this program called Leadership. And it was a year-long program, four different retreats that were separated by a couple of months in between, but they were all in person and each retreat was like a week long. And then there was like group virtual work in between. And I started thinking about the idea and it just wouldn't leave me. So it was kind of one of those things that was like, okay, I think I might have to do this. But the problem is that I live in Bali and this program is in the States. And I've got this whole cushy Bali life going on. I've got, you know, my friends and my boyfriend and I love my life here. I can't leave. So I just kept parking it and pushing it off to where it just became apparent that I needed to do this. My brother had gone through his own career transition and left corporate to become a police officer. And his graduation was around the time this was starting. And I hadn't been back to San Francisco in over a year and a half. So I thought, okay, I'm going to take another leap and I'm going to go the opposite way. I'm going to put my relationship at risk. I'm going to put this whole Bali life, you know, I'm going to park it. And I had this fear of like, what if I don't come back? What if I can't come back? What if I get stuck? What if I end up going and doing this thing and doing nothing with my life and having to go back to corporate again? This is gonna suck. Like, I was afraid, I was so fearful. I went back home and it took me a minute to get acclimated. But as soon as I got home and started this program, a co-working space called me up. They found me on LinkedIn. They're like, hey, we found you. Do you want to join our team and create your own program? You could be whatever you want. And we would need you to lead your own like retreats and workshops and all of this stuff. And I was like, what? Like, this is what I'm learning how to do. This is what I wanted to do. And you're calling me up out of the blue. Like, if that's not the universe working, I don't know what is. Yeah. Right? So my first leadership retreat was in May, and then my next one was in August, and the next one was in November, and then the next one was the following February of 2017. So it was all of 2016 and part of 2017 where I needed to be in the Bay Area. So I said, look, I'm here for this leadership program. What if I do the first two retreats here in the Bay Area, go back to Bali and do this thing, but you guys need to pay like for me going back and forth for the next two. And they were like, done. I'm like, okay.
The game is strong. And coming up. So what you said earlier, the universe every now and then is going to like deliver karmic lessons, karmic paths to shake things up. I was curious about your manifestation practice. How much, like what you exactly do, how much of it is holding on to a vision, how much of it is surrendering? Because sometimes there are those days when I'm like, I get confused.
Right. You know,
like, dreams are strong too, but we just have those days where we're like, am I like obsessing over this goal, this dream? How do I surrender it to the moment?
Yeah, you know, that's funny. It's like, I've had a journey with that word. I was even telling my partner when we first got together this year, I was telling him, like, I don't really like the word manifestation. Mm. It's too woo-woo. You can't explain it, you know? Like, I am part spiritual, but I'm also part, like, logic. Like, I like talking about astrology for fun, but do I let it be the compass for my life? No. And at the same time, man, like, as especially even now as I'm telling the story, it's like, well, it works. It really does work. And I really can't explain it. But as far as the balance between surrendering to it and putting energy towards this goal and working hard in that direction, I think it's just this self-awareness and this self-trust.
Right.
It's really working in your favor to help you work on the trust on yourself. And that's been my reality. I know when I'm pushing too hard, I start feeling stressed. I start feeling overwhelmed and I start feeling anxious. Mm-hmm. That's a different fear than like trusting that the client will come,
right.
Trusting that going back to the States is the right thing. And I can't really tell you what the big difference is. I'm just thinking out loud here, but it's kind of like, I'm going to use something as just simple as waiting for your hair to grow from short to long. Right. You know, you have a vision or you have this idea, like, let's say it's short, because I had it short like last year, and you want it to grow longer, but every day are you like, is it long yet? Is it long yet? And in between that phase of growing from short to long, there's this ugly phase.
Yeah.
There's this really awkward phase.
Right.
But knowing and trusting that, you know what, I will have long and beautiful hair at some point. But if I look in the mirror every single day and tell myself, oh, it's never gonna come, you know, and then I might get fed up and just chop it off or something. And I know that like life is way more complex and not as simple as that, but it's kind of like that, right? So just trusting and putting your energy in that direction, and also not being attached to how it's going to happen. Because if I were to say, I want to get back to Bali and it has to be exactly this way, or only with the frame of reference that I knew back then, prior to getting that phone call and been attached to that, maybe I wouldn't have answered that phone call.
Right.
Initially, when I got that phone call, I was like, in my mind, I was like, no, thank you. I don't want to work for anybody else ever again. I'm an entrepreneur. And so that was initially my response, right? So I had to go through and do some processing around like, wait, hold on, wait a minute. Maybe this is something. And I brought it to my support system, and my dad was actually one of the people that had this chat with me and was like, you know, maybe it's something that you could entertain. Mm-hmm. So not being attached to how this dream of yours is going to manifest, just trusting that you have everything that you need in this moment for you to make it to the next moment.
I remember something Joe Dispenza said. He was like, the certainty you need to have with yourself should be the same certainty you have in the sun setting.
Right.
Right.
Love that.
It's so basic, right?
We know
how it is, but surrendering can also be the hardest thing to do in certain days.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Yeah, it sounds like a manifestation between manifestation, because a lot of people think, okay, I'm going to manifest my dream. And then let's say you finally got what you've been manifesting for, and you're like, oh, my life is fine and dandy, it's all great. But there's still always the growth in there. And you will still realize that there's still things that needs to be done.
Yeah.
You know, there's still more out there.
It, yeah.
And you still got to put in that work every day.
Every day.
Yeah, so it's like, there will always be those honeymoon phases.
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Right. Yeah.
It's a great marriage, but the honeymoon won't last.
Yeah, exactly.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's like the relationship with yourself is like a relationship with someone else. It's always dynamic. You know, it's never the same.
Absolutely. So, okay, what are some of your personal manifestation practices, if there's any, or something that you felt like worked for you?
That vision that I was telling you about, I do some of that in my journaling. Mm-hmm. So I envision something that I want or I desire. And sometimes what I also do actually in some of the courses that I run is create this vision or have people create this vision like they already have it. And I think you might have, I'm not sure if you've been in a workshop where I've done that, but it's like future tripping. So I also had like did my own vision board. I have it inside my closet. So either visually or in written statements and putting dates to it. In the future, I'm going to have this. Either putting a date in the future or stating it like you already have it and really imagining what it smells like, what it tastes like, what it looks like, what it feels like, really getting that, really getting connected to what reality would be like as if it were already happening. Also putting a date to it. Like I was saying earlier, like back in 2015, I said in September, so I did the vision in April and I said, you know what, in September of 2015, I don't want to be working in corporate. I just want to coach in a tropical place and all of that. And I neglected, I always forget to say this, but I ended up in Bali in 2015 in September. So exactly 6 months, the time frame that I told myself I was going to leave that life and step into the new one. And the funny thing is that I did a 5-year vision board exercise back in April of this year. And I said, in the first year, I want to have a team for the first time. Like I've been doing this whole entrepreneur, solopreneur thing this whole time since 2014. And I think I'm ready. I feel like I'm holding myself back by doing everything on my own. And I'm ready to invest in a team. And just last month, I hired a team and things are just going. Like, yes. Yeah.
That's how detailed you are. Mm-hmm. Because it's kind of like when you write a goal, right? It's not just like, okay, I want to have a house or I want to be happy. But what does that mean?
Yeah.
Or right. Like, I want to have right. an amazing relationship. Right. But what does an amazing relationship mean for you? You know,
like right.
what does that look like? Mm-hmm. Or what kind of partner would you want to have? How would you want to feel? You know, so being
right.
detailed really helps too.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. So being detailed, I love how you say that. And also how you want to feel, but also like what is important about this to you? Like what would it give you? Like what would it, how would it impact the world or how would it inspire other people? How does it relate to your purpose? Right. And also what I've started doing is being grateful for things
yes.
that aren't in my life yet that are coming my way. So I'm grateful for, let's just say I didn't have my team yet. I'm grateful for the team that is coming that I'm going to work with to get me to this next level in my business, in my life.
I love that. Yeah. And there's always, you know, like I said earlier, there will always be something that you will discover along the way.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whenever you've already overcome that certain obstacle, you've gotten whatever you've manifested on. You know, there will always be that room for growth. And you will see that like that new version of you will require another new version mm-hmm. of you and another manifestation and perhaps yeah. another vision board.
Because we are
absolutely.
Now I think about it, like I think I need a new journal. You know, like I would mm-hmm. write journals, but now like I think I need a new vision board because like I remember I was so big on that before, but I've completed a lot of the things that I
yes. Remember.
And then when I look back now, I was like, I felt like those dreams are at that time was so huge. It seems so impossible. But when I think about it, it's like, girl, you shouldn't have just thought about like 500,000. You should have been like 1,000,000. You know what I mean? Like, you should have gone ask for more. I was like, girl, my dreams wasn't that big. You know. So I gotta dream bigger, you know? So you
and that's part of the journey,
yes.
The evolution of your dreams.
Absolutely.
Right?
Realize that along the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
My vision board is on a PowerPoint right now because I'm in front of the computer every single day.
Perfect.
I see. It's my desktop background now, so
beautiful.
I guess whatever works for you.
Yeah.
Too. Mm-hmm. There's so many ways how people go about like manifesting whatever their dreams mm-hmm. are, or their goals, or how they want to see their future.
Mm-hmm.
But I always say like whatever works for you too. But I do love the whole like vision board. Like for me, I love envisioning. Mm-hmm. Like I'm such a visual person, and that always worked for me.
Law of attraction is always running whether you want it to or not. Manifestation, practicing, it's different for everyone. We can do scripting, we can do our vision boards. I like meditating and visualizing. You like your vision boards as well and your journaling. I think the core essence of all these practices is feeling the gratitude and feeling that it's already certain in your life.
Right. I love that. Well, so Liana, I mean, we want to know more about your programs, and I'm sure mm-hmm. our listeners want to know where they can find you, what kind of clients you have, or what kind of people you work with, and where can they find you?
Yeah, so I work mostly with women, and I work with marginalized groups as well. So either men of color, women of color, or women in general are typically the people that I work with. I work one-on-one with clients from all around the world, as well as with in group coaching programs. So I'm running one next month. I actually haven't launched it yet, but I launched it last year, and I'm launching it again this year. It's called Pursuit on Point. Mm-hmm. It's an 8-week group coaching program for people to design their lives and careers in the way that will bring them the most fulfillment. It's an amazing community of people who are of like mind that are on similar journeys. And it's such an honor to be part of it, let alone facilitating it, because it's just such a special bond that everybody co-creates, and being a part of people's transformation is just so rewarding for me.
Yeah.
So that's my main focus at this point. In the future, maybe later this year, I actually haven't really shared with people, but you know, as we're talking about manifestation, I'm just going to put it out there. So it's not even born yet. I don't even have like the foundation of it, but I'm going to, and I don't even have a name, but it's a membership group for people who want to be a part worldwide. It's an ask actually from alumni and past clients mm-hmm. who, after we work together, they're like, now what do we do? How do we stay connected? So I've got so many different cohorts that I've been working with since 2017, clients that I've been working with since 2014. And how amazing would it be for people to get together who are familiar with the style of coaching that I do and the work that they've put into themselves to connect on that and just to keep connected to their purpose as they evolve and keep growing their goals. So that's something I'm working on and actively manifesting.
Yeah, it could be a Bali and Philippine, you know, connection over there, or some kind of work going on.
I would love to join one of your workshops as well.
Cool. Yeah. Thanks. Yeah, I'd love to have you. I think it would be awesome to have you. So those are the two programs that I'm running, and I also have a podcast as well. It's called The Undercurrent Podcast. And I also have Instagram, so you can reach me at The Undercurrent Podcast or at Liana Lumawig, which is my personal brand. You can email me, liana@lianalumawig.com, if you want to find out more about what I'm doing. Those are the channels that you can reach me on.
Amazing.
Yes.
I am so happy to meet you today. And
likewise.
Thank you so much for the service you are doing to the world. And to women.
Thank you.
Yeah, no, I'm so glad you guys finally met, and I'm so glad that like I've always just kept, you know, in contact with you, Liana, and hopefully one day soon we could probably, you know, bring and, you know,
go to Bali.
Yeah,
bring, go to Bali,
yeah,
please.
Connect the bridges together with Bali and Philippines and see where we can take it from here. And there's a lot of women out here too who would want to be working with someone like you, and they would be very inspired with your story.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you. And thanks for the work that you two are doing as well. I love your podcast. I love the topics that you cover and the message that you have, that you're spreading out into the world as well. Thank you.
Oh yeah. That's
thank
our
so
our
much. That was our podcast.
Our first guest.
Yes. That is it. That is today's episode for Grown Up Glown Up. You can follow us on Instagram at Grown Up Glown Up. Follow Sheena as well on Instagram at Sheena Vera Cruz and myself at Nina Defensor. And Liana Lumawi. Yeah, is it under at Undercurrent Podcast?
It's at the Undercurrent Podcast.
Yeah. There you go. And at Liana Lumawi as well.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
That is our time for today. Thank you so much for everybody who listened, and we will catch you on the next episode.